Life Audio.
You're listening to Therapy and Theology, and I'm your host, Carly Merclear. This podcast is a space where we explore popular topics and questions related to the convergence of faith, feelings, spiritual formation, and more. My prayer is that through these conversations, we will grow in our awareness of who we are as beloved children of God, learn to acknowledge our needs and emotions with curiosity and compassion, and rediscover the purpose and power of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. As a licensed therapist and ministry leader, I want to give voice to the many questions we face while cultivating a clearer view of how our faith informs our healing journey. I don't have all the answers, but I am committed to going deeper and walking together. So whether you've been to therapy or know exactly what you believe when it comes to theology, I want to invite you to join this journey as we fearlessly name the complexities of our present reality and press into the hope of the gospel story. So are you ready? Let's jump into today's question and begin this journey together.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hello and welcome back to Therapy and Theology. So over the past 2 weeks, we have been talking about shame and its effects. And I was able to have a friend and author, speaker, coach, Mariela Rosario, onto the podcast to share about her book, She Speaks Fire. And in doing so, I kept thinking about shame scripts and the way that toxic shame really can impact the way we show up, both in relationship with ourselves, God, and with other people. And so today, I thought it would be helpful to focus on a practice around identifying shame scripts and how we can rewrite the narrative to avoid toxic shame in our stories. So one of the things that I think is really helpful is recognizing the difference between healthy shame and toxic shame. There are so many books and resources that I'll tag in the show notes around the concept of shame. I really would like to focus on The Voice of the Heart by Chip Dodd and the way he defines and differentiates between healthy shame and toxic shame. In his interpretation of this, he talks about how shame is a recognition of both our giftedness and our limitation. It humbles us to recognize our limits. Healthy shame never humiliates us. The difference here is that when toxic shame shows up, it primarily does two things. One, it protects us from the real emotions of that experience, like embarrassment, fear, sadness, grief, loss, etc. And it also then condemns our limitedness by saying that we shouldn't have a limit, or we should have been this way or done this or that. And so toxic shame does not allow us to be present with our emotions, but rather it connects us back to a belief that we should somehow not have limits or needs. I want to be really gentle here because I think a lot of times when we recognize that toxic shame is the messages that we're hearing internally, we can become even shamed about the toxic shame. And so this is a spiral, right? And one of the things that I like to remind people and myself is that toxic shame shows up to protect us. Right. So even toxic shame's intent is going to be to protect us, because most likely within our family of origin, within our narratives of trauma or negative experiences, we learned somewhere that our needs were not accepted or that our limitedness was not approved of. And in doing so, this allows us to recognize that toxic shame has just been the way that we've survived those experiences. So first, appreciating what it's tried to do, and then recognizing that a way of living out of a humility of recognizing my giftedness and my limitations allows me to live more freely. And I think it beautifully connects back to how God made us, right? If we acknowledge that we are human, that God made us to be in relationship with others, then our limitedness, our needs, they're not burdens. They're not even negative in the light of how God created us to be in relationship with one another. But if our story, our narrative throughout our life has been that we can't have needs or that our limits somehow impact the ability to feel loved and valued, then of course, toxic shame is going to show up to promote a false sense of self. And we talked a lot about this in the podcast, the last two podcasts, a false sense of self that doesn't allow us to actually be authentically who we were created to be. One of the things that Chip Dodd talks about in his book, Voice of the Heart, is that toxic shame gives us a role to play, a false sense of self, a rule that we can't have needs or limitations, and a right way to speak, a right way to talk about our thoughts and feelings, etc. This script, so we call it. And so this is where we can start identifying toxic shame scripts and the way toxic shame has maybe impacted the way we show up with ourselves, God, and others. There are three questions I'd like to ask that maybe you can take with you to process this. Number one, who told you, right? This is a beautiful question first given to us by God in the garden. Who told you? Who told you that you were naked? And so when we can identify the voices of toxic shame in our story, that is the first step. Maybe it's internally, I'm telling myself I'm not good enough. But if we really think back to the history of our narratives, who else has told you that, right? Who are the people or the voices that have said you're not enough or that your needs and limits are somehow creating an unworthiness in you or an unwantedness? Number two, in addition to who we are listening to, we have to ask the question, what are they saying? Here we identify what the shame scripts are telling us. This question, although difficult to engage with, can really help identify patterns of toxic shame in our narrative. And so it might just start with making a list of the ways that you talk to yourself or the messages that have been given to you by other people. Something that Chip Dodd talks about that I think is so helpful is he gives this identification of the difference between toxic shame versus actually engaging with a feeling like sorrow, grief, hurt, anger. Toxic shame uses shoulds, right? And I say this all the time to my clients, don't should on yourself. When we recognize that we're shoulding, it automatically takes us out of a present emotion. I should have done that. Well, but you didn't. So what does that feel like, right? This is what leads us back to the actual primary emotion that toxic shame tries to keep us from. There might be even a fear here of acknowledging the actual feeling because we might have shame around that feeling. So it gets really, really complex as we engage with toxic shame because we're able to recognize that what is actually happening in the present moment, that emotion that we experience, whether it be sorrow or grief, anger, hurt, disappointment, toxic shame tries to save us from that by shaming it, right? We shouldn't feel that way. The difference here is being able to recognize whether or not we could show up there. So for instance, oftentimes people will say to me in session, I should have known better. Well, did you? Could you? Could you have known better? Did you have the information that you have now? What if you couldn't? What feeling does that bring up? In this, we're recognizing that the shouldn't is not present in that event. It's maybe that you couldn't or that you didn't. And that feeling is actual authentic feeling that we can process through. In addition to this, the last thing I would ask is, how is it impacting you? This comes from a self-compassion reflection exercise where we try to engage with the feeling rather than the voice itself. So for instance, if someone were to tell you, you should have known better, how would you feel? Right? I think there tends to be a lot of guilt or shame in response to that. And whenever there is condemnation, it is not from God and it is not truth. It's an impaired version of what is true. And so being able to acknowledge how these scripts are impacting you, what feelings they are bringing up, can be a really helpful start to identifying toxic shame patterns in this script that oftentimes shows up in our life. Now that we understand a little bit more about identifying shame scripts and maybe where the origin of those shame scripts comes from, I hope that we can hold compassion and understanding for why maybe our brains and bodies have clung so deeply to shame scripts that are toxic in nature. But one of the things that I think is so beautiful is that acknowledging these shame scripts can actually help move us to a healthy version of shame. A healthy version of shame honors our limitation and recognition of our gifts and our needs. And what it can do is it can produce in us both humility and self-acceptance. Think about it this way. If we have a difficult time accepting other people's limitations, it oftentimes is a reflection that we haven't accepted our own. And again, this dynamic is seen throughout all of history and even in our current relationships. The more that we are able to accept our limitations and acknowledge our needs, the more that we can show up in relationship with other people, acknowledging their limitedness and their needs. And I think all of this accumulates into recognizing that we are in need of God. Toxic shame condemns us for such things and produces humiliation and self-rejection for having needs and limitations. This idea of denying our needs and limitations actually denies the way that we were created by God. And that for me has been so eye-opening to recognize that I can honor my needs and limitations because that's how God created me. He created me to be a relational being with needs and limitations so that I can be in authentic, intimate relationships with other people and with Him. And this is how they phrase it in Voice of the Heart. It says this, living with healthy shame is living within appropriate authority. It is living how God has made you, specifically using your gifts and talents in maximum service to others, while also recognizing the limitations of your gifts and seeking the giftedness of others and their appropriate authority. In doing so, we are involved in authentic pursuit of living fully, responding appropriately out of our spiritual and emotional gifts. This is where we can begin to recognize that how we were made in the image of God as human beings, we can honor those limits and those needs. Something that I have clung onto for several years that has helped me battle shame is the acronym AIV. And these letters represent three words. A, authority. I, identity. And V, victory. And so when I hear that my ability to live in healthy shame is living within appropriate authority, it reminds me that I am under the authority of Jesus. And I have been made in the image of God, and God, as my authority, reminds me about who I am. The voices around me, the world in its context, the voice of toxic shame, which I believe is Satan's way of twisting our needs into making them negative, as he did way back in the Garden of Eden. This authority that God is my Father and Jesus is my forerunner allows me to have a new way of viewing my limits, my needs, and my giftedness. In addition to this, I think then it moves us into this new identity as a child of God. If we can acknowledge our humanness in this identity, I am not God, right? I am human. I am made of dust. And yet in that humanity, in that recognition of my incompleteness, that I am not God, and that I am in need of someone outside of myself, primarily God, I'm able to recognize that this identity as God's child, as we see in 1 John 3, that we are beloved children of God. And yet, even we see this in Ephesians 2:10, that not only are we beloved children of God as humans, as limited beings, we are beloved. And then it says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works. This does not negate our limitedness or our needs, but I believe it holds in tension both our competency and our ability to be creative beings, and also the responsibility to honor our limits and engage with the gifts of others where we fall short. And so authority, identity, and then victory. I think victory can be a tricky word because what we tend to think of in victory is maybe it's connected to success or this feeling of accomplishment. But in this particular context, I have acknowledged that my victory is found in how I was made to be, right? So my victory is not that I will never feel toxic shame again or that I somehow am perfect and complete as much as I think my shame would want me to be. But rather, my victory is not found in my ability to not need anything, but God's ability to show up in that need for me. By accepting this gift of love, I am able to be in intimate relationships and live authentically within my gifts and my limits. Shame connects us back to God and to others by allowing us to accept love as a gift, not as an earning out of our own ability. So I hope these few practices and questions can help us all explore more how to identify toxic shame, acknowledge it, and allow it to be moved into a healthy place of shame where we can accept our needs, our limitations, and honor our giftedness.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Therapy and Theology. If you have a question or topic you would like discussed on a future episode, please feel free to email me or drop it in the comments. Also, don't forget to subscribe to have each week's episode instantly downloaded to your podcasts, and see the show notes for resources mentioned in this episode. To access more content and join my monthly email list for the latest updates and info, visit my website at carlymarkluyer.com.
Do you want to better understand the Bible and get biblical answers to those who ask you about your faith? Hi, this is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Podcast Show. Listen to us weekly as we bring the truth often found in the ivory towers of seminary down to the steeple towers of the local church. Join me along with many of the nation's top theologians as we offer answers to life tough questions from an apologetic perspective. Subscribe to the show at lifeaudio.com.